Good evening. Thank you for joining us. We invite you to take your Bible and turn with us to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 as we consider the thought this evening, ye are the salt of the earth. For just a moment, we invite you to calm your mind and clear your head with everything going on around you and consider the various names that God gives His children in the Bible. They are sheep, brethren, little ones, etc. But Jesus gives us also the name of salt. He's reminding us that we have the opportunity, we have the responsibility to be an influence in our world. It's interesting that these verses should follow the Beatitudes in the Word of God. In the Beatitudes, Jesus gives some qualities that ought to be present in every citizen in the kingdom of God. Now, when we are possessed of these characteristics, we will be a positive influence and we will make a difference in the world around us. When we're living out the standards of the Lord Jesus in our lives, we will be salt and we will be light. Light is an external quality that enables one to see. And just as a glistening limestone city sitting high on a hillside cannot be hidden for the light coming from its walls, so the Christian who shines with the brilliance of the Lord Jesus cannot be hidden from the view of the world. In other words, your testimony will get out on you. Those around you will see it. Those around you will be touched by it. And tonight I want to zero in on the idea of being called salt. In this one verse, Jesus makes three statements that needs to be considered as we understand what it is to be the salt of the earth. So in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, the Word of God says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Now, let's notice a description that we're going to analyze. People in general do not realize the importance of salt when it comes to life, when it comes to the health of our bodies. An exact percentage of salt is always present in our bloodstream. And any deviation from that amount can result in sickness. It can even result in death. Salt is a sustainer of other life as well. For instance, seawater supports many more organisms than fresh water. And as a preservative, it retards spoilage. Also, it is a splendid condiment, adding zest and savor to our food. Now, salt in the Scriptures is said to be, in Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 13, it's a symbol of a binding covenant. Also in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verses 20 and 21, it is a healing and cleansing aid. In Job chapter 6 and verse 6, it is a stimulant to the appetite. In Luke chapter 14, verses 34 and 35, it is a preventative of decay. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 50, it is a promoter of peace. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, it is a stimulant to our testimony. And in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, it is an evidence of grace. Now, we're called salt because several reasons I'm going to give you this evening. One of those reasons is our preserving ability. Salt wards off rot and it wards off decay. It's rubbed into meat in an effort to preserve it. I think of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 19. They could have been saved by the preserving influence of just 10 righteous men. So it is in America today. I'm convinced that the presence and the prayers of salt, or we could say salty Christians, has done more to preserve our nation than anything else we could name if we were to list them. It is the righteousness of God's children that has made America great, and it will be the righteous prayers of God's children that will keep this country from being judged today. And so we must pray and we must seek God's face on the behalf of our country. Thus, salt has a preserving ability. Salt also has a penetrating ability. Salt will penetrate, it will infiltrate whatever it touches. It's an aggressive substance. The early church became just that. It became an aggressive substance, and we are reaping the benefits of their aggressive evangelism today in the 21st century from what they did as the early church. I believe that we've been called by the Lord to be an active force in the world around us. The church must be a militant army charging the very gates of hell. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, He says, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And he said, The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Friends, I don't believe we're just only a penetrating ability, but we, as salt of the earth, we are a purifying. We have a purifying ability. Salt has a remarkable cleansing ability. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verses 19 to 22, Elisha cleansed the waters of Jericho with salt. In ancient times, newborn babies were washed in salt to cleanse their bodies and to give them firmness to their skin, according to Ezekiel 16 and verse 4. Salt in a wound can cleanse the area. Often Christians have a purifying effect on the world around them, and they ought to behave differently when the child of God walks up. Now, don't be offended if people stop talking to you when you come around. Thank God that you are acting as a purifying agent, a purifying force in the world around you. Every meat offering in Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 13, every meat offering was to be made with salt, and so it is with our lives. We're to offer our lives as an offering to the Lord Jesus, according to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And when we do, it proves that we are worth our salt, literally. Not only that, but we have a pleasing ability. Bringing out the best, salt blends and it adds flavor to food. In fact, there's some foods that are better off not eaten if there's no salt. So, Christians should flavor the world around them. And as salt, we're to live our lives that we bring out the best in those around us. That is what Jesus did time and time again on the earth. And that's what you and I are should be doing as well. And we should be doing it for His glory. Now, we also have a poisoning ability. Salt kills some things. Have you ever tried to pour salt or actually poured salt on the back of a slug? Slugs and salt do not mix. Salt poured on a lawn will kill the grass. Too much salt is not good for the body. So too much salt is not good for your blood pressure. I'm thinking of Abimelech in Judges chapter 9 and verse 45. He took a city, he sowed the city with salt to prevent the ground from being used to grow crops. He literally killed the fields with salt. Now, by the same token, when true Christianity is sowed in the lives, homes, and communities of the world, some things are going to be put to death. We can make an impact in our world by the very fact that Christianity has a pure poisoning agent, and that is to sin. Christianity, salvation, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ, has a poisoning effect on sin. When Jesus comes into a life, drinking and cursing and fighting and hating and killing, drugging, loose living, etc., they're all put to death in the name of Jesus, because according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, we become new creations, new creatures in Christ Jesus. Not only that, but we have a promoting ability as the salt of the earth. Salt creates a thirst for water in those who are exposed to it. And as salt, the Christian has the wonderful opportunity to promote a thirst for Jesus in the world. Remember what our Lord told us? He said that out of our bellies would flow rivers of living water in John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. When we live as Christians should live, when we take the call of Jesus seriously and live right, look right, act right, talk right, worship right, dress right, all for His glory, not for our good, then we have the ability to create a thirst for Jesus in the hearts of those around us. Now, when that happens, we can point men to Jesus and share with them the water of life, that water that will cause them to never thirst again. Christ satisfies. And sadly, most Christians do not promote thirst, but they promote ridicule instead. Too often we live substandard, immoral lives, and the world sees it and says, why should I ever want to be a Christian? Why should I ever want to receive Christ? Why should I ever want to follow Jesus? I live just as good as that crowd down at the church. Fact is, they're often right. So let's live so that we can ever prove them wrong and prove that Jesus Christ is worthy of living for God. Now, our lives must be above reproach if we're to create a thirst for God in the world, in the community around us. We must never give anyone cause to say, well, if that's a Christian, then I don't want to be one. If that's what a believer looks like and acts like, that's something I don't want to be. Instead, our lives ought to motivate people to say, that's what I've been missing. That's what I want in my life. So salt also gives us a proven ability. Salt changes nearly everything it touches. Pour salt on food, it changes it. Pour salt on ice, it melts it. We're called to be thermostats, not thermometers in the world around us. We are to be the instruments that God can use to implement change in a positive manner and glorify Christ in a wicked world. Now, when genuine New Testament Christianity touches this sinful, wicked world, there will be a change of some variety. We just need to be sure that we're changing the world, and the world is not changing us. The modern mentality is we have to be like the world to win the world. We'll win more if we're more like Christ. You can't imitate the world and win the world. And so you have to imitate Christ, and then people will see what they've been missing. So that's a description of salt that we must and we had to analyze. Now we go on to a danger that is to be avoided, a danger to avoid. Salt was very valuable in the ancient world, so valuable, in fact, that the Roman legions were often paid their wages in salt. And that payment was called a salarium. It's where we get our English word salary from. And that's where also the expression comes from, that comes not worth his salt. It comes from this, from the Roman soldiers, the legions would be paid in salt. And so it was possible for salt in that day to lose its flavor. Now, the salt used was far different from that which we see today. Our salt is a chemical compound called chloride of sodium or sodium chloride. The salt used in the ancient world was either mined from the salt cliffs along the Dead Sea, which were 7 miles long and several hundred feet high, and it was often mixed with mineral or vegetable matter. And when this substance was exposed to the elements, or when it touched the earth, the salt lost its salty taste. And even the surface salt that was dug from the cliffs was always discarded because of its exposure to the light, and it would render it completely tasteless. So this tasteless salt, the salt that had lost its savor, had lost its taste, also lost all the qualities that made it so valuable and that made it so sought after. And it's possible that Christians can lose their saltiness as well. This happens to us when we, just like salt in ancient times, we come in too close a contact with the world. When we get to be more like the world than we are like the Lord, then we have lost that thing that sets us apart, makes us valuable to the Lord's kingdom, makes us valuable to the Lord's work. And too often we allow our wells to get filled with junk. And so when we allow our wells to be filled with the world's junk, we are practically useless to the Lord and His kingdom work. So there's a danger that we must avoid. There's also a destiny here to abhor. A destiny to abhor. Now, in ancient times, when salt had lost its savor, it was then taken out and cast into the footpaths, the footprints, the walkways. It was used much like we use gravel in our day, and its only purpose then was to kill out the weeds that might grow in the road. For us to walk on, or for them to walk on, rather, so that their sandals wouldn't get muddy. So literally, it would be trodden underfoot, under the foot of man. Thus, that's what our Lord is speaking about. But to be cast out, the latter part of verse 13 in chapter 5, and be trodden under the foot of men. Every Christian in this room, every Christian in this podcast or video land that's watching me, that's listening to my voice. And this video is going out literally all over the world. We're having people listen to our podcast all over the world, at least 5-6 different countries. And that's a blessing. But every Christian, every Bible believer needs to understand that when we lose our saltiness, when we cease to function as the salt of the world, then we too have become good for nothing. And while we cannot lose our salvation, we can most certainly lose our usefulness, our efficiency, our effectiveness for the Lord and His work. So when that happens, we become something to be trodden upon and treated with contempt. When we're living for the Lord, men may not like us, but there's often a certain respect for the stand we take and for the testimony that we possess. When we allow our testimony to become tainted by sin and become tainted by the world, then men will walk upon our testimony and we become absolutely useless to the Lord as a vessel of witness. I don't know about you, but I do not want to wind up being cast out as a vessel by our Lord. I'd like for my life to be useful. I'd like for my life to count. I would like for Him to be able to use my life to bring others to Himself and to cause others to desire to be like Christ. And I really would like to be a blessing and a light for the Lord in this world. And I believe every child of God listening and watching desires to be a salty Christian for the glory of God. Paul knew that the potential always existed for him in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. Paul knew that the potential always existed in him to be a castaway. That is, someone that God would literally take out of the race and put on a shelf. I see that potential in my life. You should see that potential in your life. And I don't want that. And I don't think you do either. And so as we consider our lives this evening, no matter what's going on around us in the world, we should not keep our focus on the world. We should not put our focus on the news or everything's going on around us. We should have blinders on, like a horse would have blinders on a trail. And we should be constantly looking, focused on the Lord Jesus, focused on the Word, focused on what He's doing in our lives, focused on what He's doing in the world, and focused on what Christ and what it takes to please Christ. And so there's a tremendous need for every child of God to be all that God wants them to be, especially in these days. We've seen enough falsehood. We've seen enough hypocrisy. We've seen enough weak living to do us and the world a lifetime. We need to be about the business of purifying. We must be about the business of preserving. We must be about the provision of penetrating for the Lord and the gospel of Christ. We must be about the business of pleasing and promoting so that the Lord can use our lives and our testimonies for His glory. And my prayer, and I trust your prayer, is too, that God would help us to be salty Christians, salt of the earth, that would influence and that would penetrate and that would purify and would be a cleansing agent of this world. And so our focus must be on Christ to be salty Christians. I trust that's your hope. I trust that's your prayer. And I trust that's a blessing to you as we go through and begin a brand new week. Jesus is coming, and we say with John, the beloved disciple, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And I believe that Jesus Christ is coming again very, very soon. Until He does, let's be salt of the earth, and let's please God, and let's keep the Word of God before us, and let's do that. God bless you. Trust you have a great week in the Lord. And we trust that you will be, and I will be, the salt of the earth that our Lord Jesus deserves. God bless you.